As we approach kickoff for the Utes' first road game of the season, it is time to get deeper insight into what makes Fresno State tick. And for that, we're delighted to welcome Bulldogs play-by-play man Paul Leffler into ESPN 700. Paul, thanks a lot for taking a few minutes and talking Bulldogs and Utes with us.
Yeah, great to be on with you.
It's Utah's first roadie, and they'll get a rabid crowd at Bulldog Stadium, close to, I guess, what, 35,000? And like the Fresno State football team, fans will be looking mean in all black. It's blackout night with Utah coming to town. Where did that whole idea come from?
You know, it's something they've done the last couple of years. The first time they did it is something that the players were clamoring for years. I've seen other opponents do it, and two seasons ago, when they had that undefeated team that was climbing in the national rankings, they did it against Nevada, and the place was sold out. We had an honor flight of World War II veterans that were there at the game and had a standing ovation. It was an electric situation, and the team won. They wore those jerseys again that year in the Mountain West Championship game and won. They did it again last year against Hawaii and won. So, you know, they're trying to convince themselves that when they wear those black jerseys, they're unbeatable. And I think, yeah, the fans get into it. They enjoy buying the new T-shirts and showing up in black and trying to make it a hostile environment.
Yeah, no question. And the marketing department loves it too, right? There's a little extra cha-ching when they're ringing up the black jerseys and the black T-shirts and such.
Exactly. And that's all part of it. But the players too, I think they get as excited as anyone. They like the way they look in the black. They like the fact that there are new uniform combinations and different things they can do. And like it or not, it's been become such a huge part of the college football experience these days. It's, you know, who can have the most different uniform combinations and come up with something that no one else has done before. And they enjoy being the guys in black, and we'll see how it plays out Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. The Utes do it on a regular basis. They're doing it this year as well. And it does. It adds a little bit of extra juice to the evening. The later 8:30 kick here in the Mountain Time Zone is going to be fun as well. And you know, this is a tricky mind game for both programs. For the Utes, starting quarterback Travis Wilson likely out. One of the leaders on the D-line, Hunter Dimick, likely out. Could be one of those trap games with Utah's Pac-12 opener at Oregon looming the weekend after this. So the Utes coaches and their leaders got to keep the team focused and the feet firmly planted in Fresno, not thinking about Eugene. So I'm wondering how Coach Tim DeRuiter and his staff and the Bulldog team leaders have kept this team positive and thinking they can win after Ole Miss hung 73 points on them last Saturday in Oxford. I mean, how's the mindset of this team coming into Utah?
Well, they all insist they're focused forward, and I'll have a program with the coach tonight, and we'll get some more insight from them. But I think for the fans, you know, the players, I think they're resilient. They're young people. They have different things. I think they'll likely start Jason Virgil at quarterback, and, you know, for the players who believe he's their best guy and a guy who makes that offense more dangerous, I think that's something to get excited about. But you know, having been around Fresno a long time, I think the bigger issue is keeping the fans engaged and believing and bought in to the idea that Fresno State can beat a nationally ranked team. And I don't know when Fresno is going to have another opportunity like this to have a nationally ranked team come to Bulldog Stadium in a game that Fresno State, you know, in my estimation, has a legitimate chance to win. The Dogs are 18-2 at home under Tim DeRuiter. You know, Utah's offense to this point has not looked as explosive as it was last year with Clay and Anderson on the outside. And, you know, it, so far not having scored more than 24 points in a game, it doesn't look like an offense that can do what the Utes did last year against the Bulldogs in Salt Lake City. So I think there are a lot of things that point to this being a game that could go either way. And for the fans of Fresno and the San Joaquin Valley, I just don't know when another situation quite like this is going to arise again.
Yeah, that's a great point, and you mentioned Tim DeRuiter, a coach, you know, certainly not on the hot seat by any stretch, but this could go a long way to kind of calming the, you know, the influences that were not happy with the 73 hung on him last week and last year. A couple of games got really loose, and you know, he, you know, a win over a team like Utah from the Pac-12 at home would certainly make everybody happy. You mentioned the quarterback position, the true freshman Chasen Virgil I talked about leading into you, and then Zach Greenlee's been sort of the caretaker, everyone waiting for the time when it will be Chasen Virgil's job. And looked like he played well at Ole Miss, a couple of touchdown passes, a couple of touchdown drives, threw a couple picks, but that's to be expected in a game like that. So what will the Utes and Utah fans see from Chasen Virgil?
Yeah, that's a big question. I think he's so young that you just don't know, but I'll tell you a little bit about what we've seen so far, because there were a lot of people, a lot of fans, started scratching their heads when they heard he was going to play the first week. They thought, he's a true freshman, he's going to redshirt. That's what usually happens around here. But what Dave Schramm and Tim DeRuiter have seen from the beginning, of course, Dave Schramm was under Kyle Whittingham at Utah for 7 years. Now Gordon Wynn, the ex-quarterback, is a volunteer on the staff here, too. A lot of connections there. But what they've seen in Chasen Virgil is a guy who graduated high school early to get here and initially committed to Mississippi State. That didn't work out. He comes to Fresno State, was here for the spring, was tiny, was skinny as a rail, 160 pounds. He puts on 20-plus pounds between the spring and the fall. He comes into fall camp acting like he's the guy, that he doesn't care if other guys have more experience, have been here longer. He believes he's going to be the guy to win this job. And he's gone out there, worked very hard. He's gotten his teammates to believe in him. And from the beginning, they know that of all the quarterbacks in the program, he's got the strongest arm. He's got the quickest release. He's the fastest when he's running the ball. And to me, the thing that has stood out the most, and I think we saw glimpses of it in that game at Mississippi, is he's fearless. He's not afraid of the moment. He's not one of those guys who gets to that stage and starts to panic and overthinks it. He reacts in the moment, and for the most part, he reacts well. He did turn the ball over a few times in that game against Ole Miss, and that's the one thing that this coaching staff really does not tolerate. And I think that's probably the one reason they haven't already come out and said he's our starter Saturday night. But I think the fans around Fresno State are going to be really surprised if number five isn't taking that opening snap.
And from what you've seen of the defense, notwithstanding the 73 given up at Ole Miss, I mean those games happen sometimes to teams on the road when the home team's good and they get rolling. But what do you see that maybe the Utes would have to contend with? What areas? Because you've obviously we talked prior to this, and you know that Utah, you mentioned, has had trouble scoring points. Had trouble getting Devontae Booker rolling, and now with Travis Wilson looking like he won't play, maybe the downhill air game might not be there either. So how does Fresno State, from your viewpoint, plan to attack and contain the Utes?
Well, I think plans and execution are two different things. I think in general, this Fresno State defense plans to put pressure on the quarterback in creative ways, to keep him guessing, to keep him on his heels. And that when they've been successful as a defense, that's what they've done. You're getting sacks from the secondary. You're getting sacks from the linebacking core. You're getting pressures. You're getting turnovers. And I think they do have good overall speed on the defensive side of the ball. Going into the year, I think everyone thought the defensive line was the unproven part of that defense. And in a 3-4, they like the linebackers. There's great depth at linebacker. There's some young talent there. And the secondary was an area that I think everyone expected to be really improved. The tackling was good in the first game, but that was Abilene Christian. And in the second game, the coverage just wasn't there. I mean, Ole Miss had some NFL-type receivers, but Chad Kelly had his way with that Bulldog secondary and played about as well as a quarterback can. So I think that's a secondary that comes into this game feeling like it has a lot to prove against the Utes, whether it's from last week against Ole Miss or from last year in Salt Lake City. I think it's going to be a secondary that's motivated to prove it can hang with a Power 5-level team and, break up some balls and get some interceptions. So we'll see. I think it's a big question mark on that side of the ball for Fresno State right now, and they'd like to answer some of those questions emphatically on Saturday night.
Fresno State play-by-play man Paul Leffler with us here on ESPN 700, looking hard at the Utes and Bulldogs coming up Saturday night at Bulldog Stadium. Looking forward to that, of course. You mentioned the connections, Dave Schramm, Jordan Wynn. There's also, on this side, there's Tyrone Smith, who's a local kid from the Fresno area who maybe you thought would be heading to Fresno State, but he's one of the big play guys, or one of the guys that Kyle Whittingham hopes turns into a big play guy on the outside for the Utes. And then there's, of course, Devontae Booker, who was you know, by all accounts, ticketed to Fresno State, and then things happened, and the Utes very happy that he's here. So there is a lot of commonalities between these two programs, and that might be make for another interesting backdrop to the this game.
No question. And Booker's a tremendous talent. The Bulldogs recruited him hard out of Grant High School in Sacramento, which is a big powerhouse there. It's turned out tons of NFL players. And he actually signed a letter of intent with Fresno State. I remember clearly Pat Hill, who's doing color with me on the broadcast now, sitting up there at the podium on National Letter Intent Day and saying how much he loved this running back from Grant High School. And I believe at the time Devontae had a hyphenated last name. It was Booker Butler or something like that. But Pat went on and on about how great this young man was, and unfortunately, he wasn't able to get admitted to the university, had to go the junior college route after that, and, you know, it's been a pretty circuitous route to him, but it's good to see him find great success in the Pac-12, and I think the Bulldogs are well aware that if they want to beat the Utes Saturday night, they're going to have to contain Booker. If Booker runs wild, if they can't slow down the run game, the Utes are going to have their way, so that's a big focal point in this ball game. And, you know, another thing, Tom, that I think is interesting about the way the Utes are doing this. I know you've been through this Central Valley. It hit me when I heard your voice. I interned at a big television center on 101 in Sunset in LA.
Oh,
when you were
really?
There years ago. Many years ago. I think you had a mustache rocking back then. But you've been up and down California.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're not staying in Fresno. They're staying in Visalia, about 45 minutes south. So they're going to be a little away from, I guess, the big city in this part of California, and we'll see how that works out for him.
Yeah, interesting. It's a funny the way this business keeps us moving, and the days at Fox, a lot of fun there, and obviously you picked up something from working with all those other talented folks there, and you've gone on to do great things. So as you take a look at this, how do you see this game playing out, and maybe some of the keys to your team hanging around and having a chance to win late in the game?
You know, I think Fresno State, just like I just talked about with Booker, Fresno State has to be able to run the ball, and Martez Waller is dynamic. He's very similar, I think, to Devontae Booker. He's a physical runner who has surprising speed, and, you know, if he gets rolling and gets some momentum, he gets that defense on its heels, and then all of a sudden you're taking a ton of pressure off a young quarterback who's making his first college start, if indeed Chase and Virgil gets that opportunity. I think that's a big part of this game, and I think for Fresno State, too, having seen Ole Miss put up 73, that Fresno State defense needs to find something to hang on to and needs to change the game with a takeaway. A turnover or two could be big in this game, and I'm not going to be surprised either, Tom, if special teams becomes a factor. I saw the way Covey can ignite that Utah team last week against Utah State. He's a guy that clearly the Utes rally around, and one of those personality guys that can fire up a whole team. So, you know, does Fresno State have someone like that who's going to step up? Maybe a Damari Scott, who played his first game of the year last week and looked pretty good. But it's going to be one of those fun ones. And, you know, I think back to the history of this rivalry, there have been some phenomenal games. I mean, down to the wire thrillers. And maybe we'll just get one of those here Saturday night.
And you know, I want you to weigh in on this. You know, we've kicked it around all week, the idea of the trap game, you know, Oregon looming next week, obviously, the biggest game of the Utes season to date as they open up Pac-12 play next week in Eugene. And so Fresno's sitting there, and it's a great spot for the Bulldogs coming off, you know, that complete waxing in Oxford. I mean, there's a sense that, you know, that's sort of the makings of this trap game scenario. One team got embarrassed, they're coming back home. The other team is, you know, hitting the road for the first time and maybe looking ahead. Do you buy into that, or is this, again, one of the, you know, one of the, how you evaluate teams and leadership and senior leaders getting their, you know, making sure that their guys are ready to go?
You know, I think if you're Fresno State, you hope for that. You hope the Utes are looking past you to Oregon and aren't really taking Fresno State seriously. But you know, I have to think with as good a coach as Kyle Whittingham is, and maybe even more so the fact that he leans so heavily on Dennis Erickson's wisdom. I mean, I'll never forget Dennis Erickson in 2001 at Oregon State had the preseason number one team in the country, according to Sports Illustrated. And that team came to Bulldog Stadium, and David Carr and the Bulldogs beat them, and the fans tore down the goalposts. And that's something Dennis Erickson is never going to forget, and any team that he's associated with is going to be aware of that and know to take Fresno State seriously, whoever the coach is. So I just don't see the Utes entering with that kind of mindset. And I think it's going to be a, a knockdown, drag-out fight to the finish. And, for everyone watching the game, hopefully that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and these are the games that, your prep work's been done. Interesting also that you're getting a chance to work with Pat Hill, who I've talked about a couple of times. I mean, when you look at the numbers that Fresno State has built up over the years, the home record and the respect nationwide, it's at the feet of Pat Hill. So it must be a real treat for you to work with him game in and game out and be able to pick his brain.
You know, it is, and he brings some perspective. And when he left Fresno State, he went to the NFL for a couple of years with the Falcons. And last summer, we talked a little bit, before last fall, and he said, I'm thinking about getting into broadcasting. So we talked a little bit, and he and I ended up doing a couple of games together on ESPN, and he ended up going through the whole season doing some television broadcasts. But this year, I think he just really wanted to stay in Fresno with his wife. He's got a couple grandkids now in town, and he loves the Fresno State program. So it really is interesting to get his insight on what's happening, the X's and O's, but also his background with some of the personnel, with the memories from over the years. And, even just a couple weeks in, I find myself learning more and more. And you add that, we've got a sideline reporter in Cameron Worrell who played for this program, played in the NFL, and hearing Pat and Cam go back and forth and teasing each other, it's pretty entertaining. So, yeah, I've absolutely enjoyed it, and I know the best is yet to come.
Well, Paul Leffler, have a great call. Appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to us here, getting ready for the Bulldogs and Utes. It's at P356 Leffler. It's LOEFFLER if you want to lock right into the Fresno State Bulldog football program. Again, thank you so much. Enjoyed it, and enjoy the game.
All right. Sounds good, Tom. Good to talk to you. Take care.